All right, Podcastia, you're listening, right? It's Howard Stern here. And I got to tell you, I mean, Robin, I'm not really into podcasts.
Well, that's like all those people who used to be on cable access. Yeah. They thought they were
on television. They were on TV. They would pay a company to put my hey, look, I'm on TV. No, you're not on TV. I mean, yeah, you're on TV, but nobody gives a shit about you.
But Trenton Waves, it's not a podcast. This is a friggin' experience. Frank and Christina Sasso are the best. The best thing since Transcendental Meditation.
Are you ready? It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey. With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
And Christina Firestarter Sasso.
Trenton is Mayberry with attitude.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, butts,
education, talent, events,
of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank and Christina.
All right, Trenton Waves. We are back again for another week of excitement and paraphernalia. Hey, Slam and Brew, the new coffee shop.
Yeah.
Out of control.
They're doing really good,
They're
I think.
Doing really well. The station doing really, really well.
Right. Can't wait for all the other places.
All the other places.
Smokehouse is doing really well.
Smokehouse is always doing great.
I know.
And
I know.
It wasn't for Reggie, we wouldn't even have it downtown.
I agree.
I'm serious.
I just actually heard Reggie recommended Snipes for my sneakers.
Yes.
I have never even thought to go over there. I'm going to have to check that out. Downtown
Snipes is great. I love them. Mm-hmm. I went there once. Mm-hmm. I was looking for something for the movie that I was in. Yeah, they were great. They were really great. Yeah. I love Snipes. Snipes is great. Great, great place. Great sneaker place.
They're on East State Street.
So we have an interesting turn here today with today's guests.
What are we doing?
More than one guest.
I know.
One's, he's a really big guy. He's a big name. And he's a big guy. You ever heard of Kevin Soto?
Yeah.
I heard of it. And then when I met the guy, I was very disappointed.
Oh, well,
no. Just because I...
Excuse me.
We're talking right now.
We're talking in a minute.
But this guy's a fireman.
I know.
A Trenton fireman. You know when you're running from a fire?
Yes.
So you run from a fire. This guy's running toward
the fire. Right.
Like he's running into it. Yes. I say you got to be just this side of crazy to live in Trenton. You got to be way crazy to be a fireman.
Or very, psychopathic in a good way. Right.
Yes, right.
We had that conversation that all psychopaths are not bad.
Right.
Criminal psychopaths are bad.
A criminal psychopath,
right,
yes.
But having that kind of mindset is just you're focused, you're intentioned. When you're doing one particular thing, you've got like laser vision.
Right.
Yeah.
And in order to keep Kevin in line,
we
have his boss here today, too.
Ooh.
So here they are today, the director of the Trenton Fire Department, Director Kenneth Douglas, and fireman extraordinaire, Mr. Kevin Soto, is here with us today in the studio right now in the flesh.
Yay!
That's right. They're very excited.
They're so excited.
Podcastio loves firemen.
They do.
They love them.
I think we all do. Where would we be without them?
Up in smoke. That's where we'd be.
No, I hope not. Oh.
Well, without them,
we wouldn't have them.
I mean, you maybe have a chance. You get out. Maybe you probably lose everything.
Right.
You know,
right.
To the fire.
Right.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you very much.
We had a great dinner the other night together.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned some stuff that I never knew about the fire department.
Yes, fire department, fires.
Right.
Different perspectives on things.
But before we get into fire departments, fires, and perspectives, you have a question.
Yes, and it's for each of you separately, so you can answer separately. Why Trenton?
Well, I'll answer that question first. First and foremost, I just want to say thank you, Christina and Frank Sass, for allowing us to be here today. Trenton is the root of my family. It's where my whole entire family grew up. I grew up there on Stockton Street. Trenton has been always in my bloodstream. You know, Trenton's just, it's home. So that's why it's always been Trenton. So I always want to be out there working with the community, for the community, for my family, for everybody in the city of Trenton. Just making Trenton just that much a little bit better, you know?
Well, I like to echo the same sentiments as Firefighter Soto. And thank you for having us, Christine and Frank. I appreciate Trenton. Trenton is the state's capital. A little bit about myself and my journey. I originate from the city of Newark, where I was a firefighter for Newark Fire Department. Also, as a detective, part of the Division of Investigations, the Arson Squad. I retired from there, and actually I was the director of Orange Fire Department for about 6.5 years. The city of Trenton was looking for a director to take over their department, lead their department. I applied for the director job through this mayor, Mayor Grigio Ciora. He hired me to be his director. And you asked the question, why Trenton? Why not Trenton?
Mm-hmm.
But
I like that he turned it on.
And I come from the largest city in Newark, New Jersey, which is Newark. Mm-hmm. And my born and raised,
is
educated, everything.
City?
Yes.
That is?
Huh. Second, yeah, yes, it's the largest, and Jersey City's right behind it.
Wow, I would never have thought that Jersey City was one of the largest cities.
Yes, it is. Jersey City's huge.
Okay.
But just, why not Trenton? Mm-hmm. So, being the state's capital, that's why. But prior to me taking a job, mm-hmm. I did some research in the city, in the fire department, assuming I need to know, be familiar with it. And I feel the fact that Trenton Fire Department deserves to be a pinnacle and a trend-setting fire department in the state of New Jersey. And through my track record, just things I've done in the past and me being the prior director, I'm a change agent. And I feel the fact that in the state's capital, fire department needs to represent the state. And I feel the fact that I bring that to the table and I say, why not Trenton? Trenton should be at the forefront of being a model fire department for the state of New Jersey. Mm. And I'm here to make that happen.
I agree. It should be the model because it's the state capital. It should be the model what the other cities look towards.
Absolutely.
I agree with you.
I'm not in competing or comparison.
No, I get it. Okay.
But the thing is that, you know, like I said, why not Trenton?
Right,
and
right.
Just talking to the firefighters here, when I got here, a lot of things haven't happened to this in this fire department.
Mm-hmm.
And I have their 100% support and things that I'm bringing to the table that they were not unaware of. We're pushing the envelope.
Okay. Good.
You know, mm-hmm. and protect not just the citizens or residents, the city of Trenton, but Mercer County.
Right.
Because we have a stake in Mercer County, too.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right.
You know, and we do mutual aid, our hazmat response team, high angle rescue, rescue, and so forth and so on. Mm. We are a tier one, level one response team for the state of Jersey, and we actually respond all over Mercer County.
Okay.
Trenton Fire Department, yes.
Oh, wow. So it's not just the city of Trenton, it's all of Mercer County.
For our rescue and specialized teams.
Oh, wow.
Teams,
you know. Wow. Cool.
Yeah, correct. So like Dr. said, we're throughout the whole entire Mercer County. So not only do we respond only for fire calls, which everybody thinks the fire department is just all about fire calls, right? Everybody thinks, oh, firefighters, oh, you're going to put the fire out.
Sure, right.
We do more than that, you know. Mm-hmm. From, fire calls, obviously. We do water rescues here in the city of Trenton and throughout Mercer County if they need our assistance. And we also do hazmat responses. So any kind of hazmat response throughout the county, Trenton is the one that goes.
So you call the fire department for that?
Yeah, and also for like an ambulance ride. Somebody's having trouble breathing, somebody gets shot, asthma attack, anything like that.
Well, why would you need the fire department for that?
The fire department was the first ones on scene because you got to remember, the city of Trenton alone, there's not that many ambulances in the city of Trenton that you would be surprised. And they probably have, correct me if I'm wrong, Director, maybe like two ambulances during the day and three at night, something like that.
Really?
Yeah, oh, so the city's so big and you don't have all these responses, so we have to pick up the slack.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not saying that the EMS is a horrible job, because they do a phenomenal job. They do a great job. But, you know, when you don't have as much manpower in that certain area, now you look at other resources that you can, you know, that you can lean towards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's when we come into play. So now all of us are, you know, first responder certified. Some are EMTs. Mm-hmm. So we're able to go to these response calls and do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, our specialized teams are hazmat technicians. We're scuba divers. You name it, we're pretty much it, you know?
Wow.
We have the whole OEM, Dr. Douglas takes control of OEM. Right. So Office of Emergency Management for the state of Mercer County.
Wait, what's OEM?
County. Office of Emergency Management. When natural disasters happen.
This is so natural for him. Like, this is his own language. He just says, I still don't know what he's, emergency management?
I'm sorry.
Emergency
Office of Emergency Management.
Like, he just says it like it's one word. He's so used to this language. I know it's emergency management. Oh, is that what
we're
that
neophytes. We don't know anything about this.
Did you ever have to take someone to the hospital in the fire truck?
No. So what happens is we don't take them in the fire truck because we're not allowed to do that. So
that
what happens
cool.
is we'll take them in the ambulance and then we'll follow them with the fire truck.
Oh, okay.
So let's say, for example, if I'm doing compressions on somebody, right, mm-hmm. that cardiac arrest, whatever, you know, what have you, I would have to keep doing the compressions, obviously, with somebody else. But now let's say the driver of the fire truck, he has to follow us with the ambulance.
Right,
and
right.
Or if the paramedic's on scene and the paramedic's in the ambulance, now somebody has to drive the paramedic truck mm-hmm. to the hospital to pick me up. To now take me back to the firehouse. So it's a whole process.
Have you ever had to do that?
Plenty of times.
Really?
Yeah, I can't even count my fingers.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. So are you an EMT?
No, I'm not an certified EMT, no, but mm-hmm. I do. I am obviously first responder. Dr. Douglas has all trained to a certain limit, so we can't prescribe, we can't give you medication.
Mm-hmm.
We can't, you know, do nothing that a paramedic pretty much can or EMT can do.
Mm-hmm.
We can, you know, stop the bleed and, you know.
Right.
You know, compression, CPR, you know, the basic stuff like that to keep you alive.
Yes, for, you know, yes, and so you can get to
correct.
Further
but
help.
But I can't provide no, you know, insulin or nothing like that.
Gotcha. And
Director, are you an EMT?
No, I wasn't an EMT. Actually, some years ago, I did go to training, but I never finished. I date myself back in 1994.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I got in the fire department in Newark in 93, but I did go to EMT training, but I never got to finish, unfortunately.
Okay.
I think it was a blizzard. During that time.
A blizzard. Wow. That's what you blame. Interesting.
Do you know someone named Tony Napoli?
No, I don't know.
Oh, wow. That'd
he be worked amazing. At, he worked in the New York for EMT in New York. He was very high up. He just retired. He's a friend of mine through my friend Diane, who was also an EMT. She was just my best friend in high school and college, but that was her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't know too many New York firefighters.
No. Oh, he wasn't a firefighter. He was an EMT.
EMT?
And then he was like a director or something.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
A high-ranking official.
Yes, yeah.
You spoke about rescue before. I've always had this question for a firefighter.
Okay.
And I meant to ask you this at dinner the other night. Mm-hmm. When you show up to a burning house, how do you assess the priority, either putting the fire out or getting people out? What comes first?
You got to remember, life safety is always our number one.
Well, how do you know anything, but how do you know?
Well, life's because... First of all, life safety is our number one priority, right?
Right.
So it starts off by us first, right? Obviously, we got to make sure we're good first to then save somebody else.
Oh, right.
That is obviously the victim,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Right. Right.
So now when we get these reports where you go to, you know, house fires and stuff like that, you know, the officer, the captain that's first arriving, he's good, or the battalion chief, whoever arrives first, the first arriving officer, conducts a 360 size of the whole entire building to see if there's anybody hanging out of windows in the side of the house, the rear of the house. What have you that, you know what I mean, that we can...
While it's on fire.
Yeah, while it's on fire to visualize and check, you know, for a second means of egress, which means another way out for not only the victim, but for our firefighters, you know? So we'll be able to see it that way, and or if we get the calls, the fire dispatcher will be like, hey, look, we got a report of entrapment.
Okay.
So if there's a report of entrapment, then we know, hey, look, now we got people inside. Now we got to notify the rescue and the ladder companies that we have a possible rescue that we got to make. But that doesn't get conducted until you have a line in service first as well. I mean, the line is, you know, obviously the hose line with the water stuff, because obviously we got to protect them from the fire.
Mm-hmm.
So. Right, okay. But you get a report of entrapment, not possible entrapment. Because
so sometimes
my question is, how do they know someone's in there?
So that's what I'm kind of going off is that you get that report from the dispatcher that goes into our CAD system. They also dispatch through the radio. So it can either been that, hey, look, whoever's inside just called me and they said that I'm trapped inside.
Okay, gotcha.
Or there's somebody outside that, hey, I think there's somebody inside. So now it's a possible entrapment.
Gotcha.
So now that goes with when the first arriving officer gets on scene to do that 360 to see if there's any entrapment, any kind of hazards, you know, for other companies. It's a whole process, a big picture that you got to see. You got to paint the whole picture for the other companies that are coming behind you now also. So whoever that first person on scene is, now you got to paint a picture. Because now other people are responding. You got to start getting a visual of what you're going to do. Start talking to your teammates. You know what I mean? Your crew behind you and let you know, hey, this is what we got. This is what we're going to do. Game plan goes on. It's like playing football. Come on, let's play. Play the game, you know?
So it's really communication is like key.
Communication
when you're,
is 100% key.
Fire is constantly evolving incident. What you try to do, reduce the evolution of it. You can have an abandoned building on fire. And you think it's abandoned. But reality is sometimes you have homeless people with squatters in here.
Right.
So now it shifts from the fire, putting the fire out, to life safety. You may have somebody say, hey, my cousin is on the third floor. We're sleeping in there, whatever, some vagrants or whatever you want to call them. But the thing is now the priority is to get these people out of harm's way.
Right.
Of course, you're going to fight the fire. But the thing is, you're looking for any kind of person that couldn't get out on their own. And that's why it's always life safety is a priority with any incident that we do go to.
I have a question. What about pets?
I was like, just going to ask that.
When someone, I mean, I guess like you would say if the person was like, oh, my house is on fire, my dog is inside. Is that count as a life saving?
Yes. Okay. That is a priority.
Yes. Cool.
But you got to remember, it's kind of harder for us to find certain pets because a lot of pets like to hide.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That's why we even tell even children, you know what I mean? We try to, when we go to these fire prevention stuff at schools, be as loud as you can be. I want to hear you yell. I want to hear you scream.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Let us know where you're at. Don't hide in the closet because now that makes our job
or
100
times harder.
Under the
bed or whatever.
Under the bed or, you know, whatever they can hide in, in a tub or something. It just takes the process a lot longer. Now you have smoke building up, and number one cause of death, smoke inhalation and fire.
That's right.
Fire,
okay. You know? So it sounds like you guys are more focused on prevention.
We're big on prevention, you know, which probably sounds crazy because we're a fire department, right? So everybody thinks, hey, you want to fight fires, you know, why are you trying to prevent some stuff?
They don't want to fight fires.
Well, the way I look at it is that we are in the business of prevention. Firefighting is just what we do.
Right.
You know? So you don't want more fires, you want less. So right. that's why our advocacy is always going to be in the community, is teach people how to better protect themselves from fires and emergencies. Mm-hmm. So prevention is our forte. But so firefighting is just what we do.
Question then from that.
Yes.
Is how do you let the community know? What do right. you? What are things that you do to let kids know, don't hide, or mm-hmm. or older people, or whatever? What's your prevention method?
So our advocacy starts in the schools.
Okay.
Every year, all year round, we go to the schools and talk to the children from as little as preschools to kindergartens all the way to high school, talking about the safeties of fire prevention, smoke detectors, home escape plans. The stop, drop, and roll, that's only if you're on fire. I know you heard that. When you say
is that real? Does that actually work?
It can work. It can work. It can work, but we're trying to get people to get out and stay out.
So the whole stop, drop, and roll, right? It works, but you got to think about it.
Yeah.
When you're on fire, what's the first thing that happens? You get nervous. You're going crazy.
You're
going
to flail around. Yeah. You run around, right?
So now, but it does work if you do it properly. It does work.
Yes.
Because you got to remember, when you lit on fire, where does fire travels upwards, right? So it's going to start traveling up your pants, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So now if you get on your side and you start rolling over, it has nowhere to travel upwards.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. So now you're rolling over and you're patting it off. So that's why they say stop, drop, and roll.
I would hate to have to do a stop, drop, and roll because, like, how do you know if you're near the stairs? You could be rolling down the stairs and not realize it.
Yeah, that happens.
That happens.
I mean, if the fire's on you, it's burning your skin.
You'll find a way.
You're going to try to get this.
They'll take the pants off. You do something.
Well, get them off before they burn and get to your skin. Then you have second, third degree burns.
Right.
Yes, but our advocacy in the city, fire prevention with the children, the seniors, go there, do presentations. Yep. In the department itself, I just took the department for the second time. We actually are an autism training center. So everybody in the fire department is trained on how to identify those on the spectrum so we can better address them in the case of emergency. Okay. So that's one of the trainings we went through. And we're just all around educating the community and just understanding the community so we can get to them to make sure the fact that they're safe in their own homes.
Well, how is your approach different for autistic?
I'll let Firefighter Soto talk about that because he has a child that's autistic.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so, you know, I appreciate when Dr. Douglas brought this program into the fire department because there's a lot of people, not only public safety, but there's people in general, you know, in the general public. So like Dr. Douglas said, I do have a son. He's autistic. He's on the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
He has autism. He's the best thing that ever happened. He's such a cool kid. You know, he's just a great kid. He's the apple to my eye, you know. So it is a different lifestyle, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see the world in a whole different angle now. To answer your question, Frank, in relation to some kids are nonverbal, they don't speak,
right?
You know, so they don't know how to communicate.
Sure.
So there are autism kids that do speak and they know how to communicate.
Mm.
Some kids like don't like to be bothered, and you know, some do. You know, everything's totally different. So when you do this program shows you the difference in autism, how to approach these kids. Because you don't want to approach them, you know, quickly and talk to them, stuff like that.
Right.
You don't want to talk loud to them because, you know, their sensory and hearing is totally different, you know.
Okay.
So by bringing this up, there was calls that I've been on in the fire department that the parent didn't even know that her child was autistic.
Mm.
I knew, right, because I have obviously my son that has autism.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm seeing now that these firefighters are now pointing out these things, like, I think he's on the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's autistic. And right. I'm like, why? So now, I mean, I'm knowing, right?
Sure, sure.
So now they're like, because remember the class that we took that the director gave us, it shows everything that, you know, the signs.
Mm-hmm.
It shows
all
the signs.
Okay, sure.
That he has autism.
Right.
So I'm like, yeah, you're 100% right. He is autistic. So now, coming now to the parent didn't even know that the kid had autism. So now I'm like, what does he like to do? Oh, he likes to play with this toy, but I'm tired of him playing with that toy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now the kid's having a meltdown, and she's thinking something's wrong with him, but the kid only wanted his toy, because now he's attached to that toy. He has a sensory problem with that toy. So we went, got him the toy, and he was totally fine.
Really? Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I put it to the side, and I talked to her, you know, as best possible as I can.
Right.
That's a touchy subject to talk to another parent. I'm like, you know, I started sharing my experiences, how I did it with my kid.
Okay.
How I started seeing signs of my kid, and she did it, and I kept contact with her, and she said, you were right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. You could genuinely relate. You could actually say and mean it, I understand.
100%. Mm-hmm. I understand 100%. Yeah. And there's the spectrum is so big, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, some kids are not as sensitive as other kids. Some kids are aggressive. Some kids aren't. Some kids talk. Some kids don't. You know what I mean? It's a whole bunch of different stuff. You know. Mm-hmm. So it's big. And now in April is Autism Awareness Month. So you know that's something that right? Yeah. So now it's something that you know should come out there to the entire community. Should be taught in schools and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think police department got on board with us also, right? And started doing the police department side. So it's a great training, you know, and now by doing that, the whole department is aware of their surroundings.
Mm-hmm. Christina, when you were a kid,
yes,
fire trucks would go by all the time. Yes. What do? You wave at them.
Oh, yeah. Of you course. Mean if I'm outside?
Yeah, of course. And there was a great respect for firefighters. When I was a kid, too, I mean, you love the guys on the big red truck.
Right.
But I'll tell you right now, after 9/11, I think firefighters are seen in a whole other light.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, of respect, of just like, you know, admiration.
Well, all first responders are. Because when, it's like you said before, when people are running away, they're running towards.
They're running toward.
Right. Yes.
And I know when we did a film right after 9/11 called Follow Me and You Will Live, and it's survival stories from six people of that day, and a couple of which were actually in the building. One of them was a firefighter. The story that he told from his experience, I can't ever imagine choosing to do that for a living. So when you were a kid, Kevin, is this what you, like you always dreamt of being a firefighter or what?
So to be honest, right? This table here is
please be honest.
Right? Yeah, okay.
What are you lying about?
No, to be honest, everybody has the whole thing. I always wanted to be a firefighter.
What did you want to be?
I wanted to be a cop growing up.
Oh, okay.
So that's, yeah, they want to be a cop. Yep. Mm-hmm. So I got accepted into the police academy for Trenton.
Did you?
I got accepted for the fire department here in Trenton. Mm-hmm. Then I got accepted also for corrections. I have a lot of family members that are in the police department.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A lot of them. And I asked them, I was like, I can't make up my mind. What do you think? They were like, you better be a firefighter. Be a firefighter.
Really? Why? Mm-hmm. Why that? What was their reasoning?
They really just said that, you know, that's something that it's, and it's weird because it's something that they always wanted to do. They always wanted to be firefighters, but then they became cops. And I was the whole other way around. I wanted to be a cop.
Wow.
And I became a firefighter. Mm-hmm. So it's totally different. I mean, the same line of work, still working for the community and stuff like that, right? It's great. We're all doing the same thing. We're all in it together. We're all brothers and sisters in this whole department.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, all, you know, different departments, stuff like that. But I felt as though I can give more being a firefighter. Because I was always big on, doing community stuff, working in the community, being out there and, you know, meeting new people.
Right.
I think I had more time doing it that way than being a cop. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and who doesn't love firemen? You know?
It's true.
It's like, waving at the truck. I want to touch a truck. Even in a museum, touch a truck. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Director, I know you were talking about being an EMT.
What was it with you? So, no, that's when I was a firefighter. My history of getting in the fire department, during the fire trucks used to drive through Newark, I used to hold my ears. I hated the noise.
Oh, really?
The sirens was too loud. I'm like this. I'm like, forget about it, you know? It was too loud. So, you know, and I lived actually two blocks away from a firehouse when I grew up, the way I grew up in Newark, in the South Ward. I had friends of mine that was older than me that got on the fire department in Newark. And so when I graduated high school, the test didn't come out during that time. But a year and a half later, the test came out again. A friend of mine wrote an application and filled it out, did pretty well. And actually, I scored well and ended up getting hired 2 years later.
Wow.
You know, so, but my journey started there. Mm-hmm. Advocacy, as far as like when I became a firefighter, my captain during the time, he actually used to take us out to all the community. We used to do proactive patrol in the community that we were in. So we used to go to all the schools, do presentations, go meet the kids, go meet the business people, and so forth and so on. And I think that's part of my advocacy started there, being so concerned about the residents and the citizens and engaging them and teaching them about fire safety and knowing who they are.
Right.
You know, my mother was a teacher, City of Newark, for over 30 years, and she retired. So I get part of that from her, and I get part of that from what I was groomed as a young firefighter.
Mm-hmm.
And that transcends to me even being a director, you know, for what I've learned. And I try to extend that out to the department. Say, listen, our importance here is we have to teach people how to better protect themselves. Like I said to you earlier, I'm not in the business of fire putting fires out. I'm in the business of fire prevention.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Firefighting is just what we do. Now, look at all, like, fires, they happen every day. Maybe they do or don't. But the thing is, what are you doing about the community and helping them how to protect themselves?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the downtime we have should be out there servicing the citizens.
Right, right. Yeah. So do you have a lot of calls? Like, is there a season where it's worse than other seasons for actually going out on calls?
Yeah, you have the winter time because people start to get warm and so forth and so on. But then you have sometimes in the summertime, depends on what people are doing with their grills.
Right.
Overloaded air conditioners, electrical issues, so forth and so on. But we go on a magnitude of calls, not just fire calls, but, you know, car accidents, overheating, some EMS calls, first responder calls, incendiary calls. Everything's just not always fire. Some are false alarms. Some could be like your outlet is smoking in your house. It's not totally a fire, but something, a prequel to a fire.
Sure, sure.
You know, and that's a lot of the things that we go on to also.
Yeah. So you spoke about water rescue. Have you done water rescues in this
area? Yeah, yep. So I've been on a few. We do a lot here in the city of Trenton. You'd be surprised. We do a lot of water rescue, especially in the summertime, because we have obviously the Delaware. So we have our rescue companies, one task force, Engine 1 Ladder, one that's based out on Calhoun Street. That's what I'm a part of. So I'm the guy that brings out the boats and gets everything ready for them. And the rescue company that's based out of our headquarters on Perry Street, they'll do the diving. We'll be backup divers. So if we have to go dive, we'll be the backup divers to protect them. Because you always need, for two people win, you always need another two people to rescue them, you know, come out. So it's a two in, two out rule, right? Mm-hmm. So you got two members going in, you got to make sure you have two to, you know, rescue them.
Ready or, to
you
go.
Know, make sure you're coming out with them, you know. I've been on plenty of water calls, plenty of them here in the city. So
in the Delaware River.
In the Delaware, in the canals. Mutual aid going somewhere else. You know, like we just went to, what was that one? Prince University.
Yep.
We went over there to help them search for the missing girl.
Oh,
that
was
about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So those are mutual aid calls that we'll go out to respond all the way out there and go in the water, you know, deploy our boats and stuff like that. Many different calls that we respond to. Sure. You know, the city's always weak, you know, so we always go on different calls, gas calls. A lot of people don't realize that we respond to gas leaks. You know, you smell gas, you can call us.
Right.
We'll respond to it. And I believe we spoke about this at dinner the other day, that a lot of people don't have the knowledge to know that we don't charge you for gas calls or nothing. And they're scared to call us. But right now, it's a big thing. You know, a lot of people have their gas flowing, or maybe their flex line has a crack in it, so the gas free flows. They smell gas, they get scared, so they're calling PSC&G. But
and they think that you're going to build.
Yeah, they think they're going to build it. So when we get there, like, no, we didn't call you. When they're calling,
we got to pay that bill every quarter.
Yeah, the taxes pay the bill. You know, the taxpayers pay the bill.
Right, exactly.
So some towns do it though. Yeah, some towns do it.
Sometimes do it.
Yeah. Sometimes do it with lower budgets. You know, they do. You get a lot of false alarms. You got industrial parks and stuff like that. Alarms are constantly going off. They're pulling resources from what could be a fire to what isn't a fire.
Sure.
You go three, four times in the night. So some of these towns, they do charge them probably $200, $350 for false alarms.
Yeah. Right, but that's a false alarm. I mean,
if you can't get your system fixed and you keep pulling a resource and it's always coming out every couple of hours or whatever, it becomes like, okay, you got the money to get this fixed.
Yeah, I guess I can see that. Yeah, right, exactly So, Kev, what was the craziest thing that you, in your opinion, that's ever happened to you on the job?
The craziest thing that ever happened to me in the fire department was getting shot.
What happened?
Yeah, you actually got shot?
That's because he was late and Director Ken had enough.
Yeah, you know what? I'm starting to think that now.
Yeah.
So that was probably the craziest thing that ever happened to me in the fire department, right? Is getting shot. You never think you're in the firehouse, you know, working out. Yes, I was working out. Frank was working out. Mm-hmm. I was in the gym. Working out.
He actually was.
Yeah, I was.
You're working out in the gym. What happened?
I was working out in the gym. Our gym was on the second floor.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'm hearing these shots going, right? Well, I thought it was fireworks in the beginning. So I keep minding my business on the elliptical going. And I keep hearing it. So one of my buddies is working out. And he goes, hey, Soto, I'm going to go get a drink of water. I'll be right back. So where he was at, well, there's the bench. So thank God that he left, because if not, I would have got him. So he left. And now I'm hearing this. I'm like, nah, those aren't. Fireworks.
It sounds like that, though, doesn't it? It's weird when they go. It sounds like a firework.
Exactly. Yeah. It's weird. So the way it was echoing, I'm listening. I'm like, nah, that's not it. Then I see this lady. I look down because, like I said, the window's on the second floor. The gym's on the second floor, so the window's there. So I see this lady just walking by nonchalant. So it made me think, like, maybe that's not gunshots. But I keep hearing, like, nah, those are gunshots. The son just told me, get down. So I got down. As soon as I got down, Frank, I tell you, and Christina, right away. The bullet started coming right through the window.
Wow.
Right through the window, and one grazed me right in my left arm.
Oh, my God.
Yep, fell down the stairs and everything. I was trying to run. Fell down the stairs. The guys came out thinking it was an earthquake. They said, what happened?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we fell down the stairs. So I'm like, what happened to shoot out? They're like, wow, like, this shoot out up there.
That's insane.
Yeah, that was bad. It was real bad.
And when was this?
This happened April 26th of last year.
Yep. Oh, so coming up on a year. Not even a year ago.
Yeah. It's coming up.
Wow. So when you got shot, what went like through your head?
Thank God, not a bullet. I'm just saying.
What went through me was that I was like, shit, it burns. It was just a sensation. It burned so bad. I felt like somebody was branding me.
I think your brain at that moment.
My adrenaline was everything was going all over the place.
I think it was protecting you mm-hmm. from freaking out.
Yeah.
You're just thinking, oh, man, that burns.
Well, yeah, that's the first thing I was thinking, too. Just don't bug out. Don't freak out. Just hold on. Put compression on it. Because I didn't know what was going on. You know what I mean? I knew it was a bullet because I heard it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I felt it. But the first thing that came out, just put compression on it. You know
they
what
find
mean?
The shooter?
It out. Yeah, thank God.
So what was that all about?
They were just having a shootout, and they just didn't know how to shoot.
Having
a shootout, they didn't know how to shoot.
Yeah.
So, you know, instead of shooting whoever they was trying to shoot, they were shooting up in the sky or whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
Like Yosemite Sam or something.
It was what, an AR-15 or something, right, mm-hmm. that came in?
Yeah. Oh, so, wow. Director, you already knew Kevin, right?
Yes. I actually responded to that. It actually happened in early evening, about maybe 6, 7 o'clock in the evening.
Oh, so he didn't call in shot?
No. No. I got the call that the fact that a firefighter got shot, so I rushed down here. He was in the firehouse. He was already bandaged up. His wife was actually on the scene when I got here. So yeah, so I'm glad. I'm thankful he was still standing and mm-hmm. he was mm-hmm. coherent and everything else that he can speak about it to this day.
Yeah.
Thank Holy God of that.
Yes.
And it happened over a random shootout or something behind a complex behind the firehouse. Nothing the firefighters initiated anything like mm-hmm. that. It right. just happened to target the firehouse. And not only did it the bullet go through the area where Kevin was at,
right?
It actually went through the lower floor, mm-hmm. the kitchen area where some firefighters actually were sitting at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so one of the firefighters just left the area by the stove. The bullet went right through the air, through the wall next to the stove and hit and lodged into a refrigerator, maybe 20 feet from the wall.
Wow.
You know, if he was standing right by that stove doing something cooking, mm-hmm. he would have got hit.
Yeah, wait a minute. Yep.
And director, do you have a story other than that one? Because that's a pretty good story for both of you.
I guess my most... Just becoming a firefighter. So mm-hmm. My first night, I worked in Newark Fire Department, probably 2 o'clock in the morning, rolled up on the scene. And why was there abandoned structure with all three floors on fire? All three floors. Every last floor was on fire. I was like, what is this? First is 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And then I got fires blowing out of every window in this one house. I'm like, and we're the first ones on the scene. So it's like, wow, this is real. So you put your gear on, put your helmet on, put your mask on. The next thing you know, you're fighting to the light. You're mm-hmm. fighting, trying to fight and put the fire down. Now, we knew it was abandoned because we knew about the building prior.
Okay.
Because we used to do a lot of go around and just canvas the area and see what's in the area. Just in case something comes in, we know what's there.
Right.
But just to see that mm-hmm. right in front of you. And then you feel the radiant heat. You see mm-hmm. the orange and yellow glow blowing out the windows. You're like, okay, that's not going to go out until we put it out.
Wow. This has become very real.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, those calls are the worst, middle of the night. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And, you know, so now a lot of our guys, we fight a lot of fire here in the city of Trenton.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you hear the officer in the front seeing it just nonchalant, calm, you know, mm-hmm. so they get their size of, you know, 2.5-story in their construction.
Right.
I got heavy fire blowing. You're in the back seat, like, what's going on? Because now you're facing the opposite way. So you look back and the whole house is on fire. Like, all right, I guess we're going to work. So you're like, you know, you're still like halfway asleep. You're like, what?
Could never do mm-hmm. it. I could never do that job. Forget it.
I remember once I was speaking to some firefighters and I was like, so must be so cool. You guys eat out every night when you're working. And they're like, we do not eat out every night. We cook.
Yeah,
and
I'm like,
really?
Yep.
And then I realized, like, when you're in the supermarket, you see firefighters shopping mm-hmm. and you'd see them all, you know.
I always see it shopping.
Even in Aldi's.
In Aldi's all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
Monday through Friday is mm-hmm. lunch and dinner, and then Saturdays and Sundays it's breakfast and then dinner.
Well, mm-hmm. there are a lot of jobs where people go to work and they go, I can't stand, I'm going to see that guy today. Is there anything like that in the fire department?
Nah, you know what? The brotherhood in this department is
so that's
great.
A real
you
thing,
know,
the brotherhood, right?
Yeah, the brotherhood is big, you know. It's very big. It's just it's another big, happy family, you know. Like,
just because he's spending so much
time. My daughter and, you know, everybody else's kids, they'll call my crewmate, you know, mm-hmm. uncle or aunt, you know what I mean?
Right.
But all the men and women on the department were very tight, so there's not nothing like, hey.
So
you know,
it is that tight.
We're very tight. If we ever have a problem, hey, like brothers and sisters, hey, look, you, mm-hmm. you messed up here. You need to change that. What are you doing?
Right. Okay.
You know, we'll have a little power, and then that's it. Then we'll go back to doing our job and, you know, loving each other and cracking mm-hmm. jokes on each other all day.
Right,
you know?
Right.
That's how it is. It's just the brotherhood is real.
It's so literally life and death. How could you not be that way with 100%. Each other?
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, different, you know, a lot of different, you know,
personalities. Yeah,
correct.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You learn, you know.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So, again, for each of you separately, thinking of Trenton, what does your dream Trenton look like?
My dream Trenton.
Mm-hmm.
My dream Trenton is, since we're the state capital,
mm-hmm.
I want to see everything succeed. You guys mentioned Slam and Brew earlier. Mm-hmm. Slam Brew is great. You know, stuff like that coming into the city.
The station.
The Station Bar and Grill.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The That's Station awesome. Tapas and Bar.
Yeah, well, whatever it's called. The Station. Love that place. That's right. But, you know, stuff like that to see, you know, the community. I want to see Trenton alive again.
Yeah.
You know how mm-hmm. it was when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. You know, you had a big community all around.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to see that. We're the state capital. We have to be the state capital. You know,
right.
That's what we have to be.
Take
the position and
right.
let's grab it. Let's go for it. You know?
Yes, mm-hmm. I agree.
So I want to see Trenton do good to, again, get all the stuff back. Like, you know, we used to have the Italian Festival back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff, you know, that keeps the whole community involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I agree. Director?
Yeah, so just me coming from North Jersey, growing up in the city of Newark in the 70s, I'm a 70s baby, mm-hmm. Telling my age. I've seen Newark from what it was into what it is now.
Okay.
And that renaissance, that transformation, that metropolis,
okay.
that basically becomes a hub for business, a hub for people wanting to come live there, be part of the change in the renaissance that the city of Newark and Jersey City and a lot of those other towns up north has had.
Mm-hmm.
Trenton hasn't had that yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray for Trenton to be that mm-hmm. metropolis and that town that people want to move to, that has commerce, that has businesses, that has prime real estate,
mm-hmm.
that has a evening life beyond the state workers going home after 4:35 o'clock and everything shuts downtown,
mm-hmm.
downtown Trenton. I would love to see Trenton be that town that I'm so familiar with being in North Jersey,
mm-hmm.
And it hasn't had that yet. And I believe the fact that it's on its way. And everybody just don't want to leave Trenton. I mean, you want to stay in Trenton. What I've learned here, the people from Trenton, they have pride in this town. And I've learned that just like I have pride in my own town. Whatever I can do to assist with that, you know, and I'm on the fireside, but throughout the town, I still try to be involved in everything. But of course, everything still starts with the administration and the mayor.
Right.
And, you know, that's the beginning.
Okay.
With this council, with this mayor, and everything is moving forward. And I see the fact that Trenton is headed into the right direction. It's just going to take a while, like anything else, because
mm-hmm.
I can imagine me growing up in the 70s, now it's 2024.
Right.
It's not something overnight, but it hasn't happened yet, but it's on its way. I see it. Mm-hmm. I see some things, and I look forward to it. And I look forward to be here as it transitions from what it is now to what it's going to be.
That's so cool.
Amen. I agree with that, too.
Well, gentlemen, would you like to hang around for a little something we call plugs?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Trenton Waves Plugs. Hey, Podcastia, let's see what this guest has to plug.
Trenton Waves, TrentonWaves.com. Visit us on all social media outlets, including but not limited to Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, X, and TikTok. That's right, TikTok. Tickety-tock. Okay, so I'm just going to say it again. Slam and Brew for your cup of coffee fix in the morning. Proprietary blend coffee. Mm-hmm. You can't get this coffee anywhere but Slam and Brew. And we are going to be, I say we because I'm handling all their branding and marketing strategy and positioning. We're going to be selling it on the website soon on mm-hmm. slamandbrew.com. You'll be able to get that. Online ordering is already afoot.
Mm-hmm.
So you can enjoy your online ordering at our red light, green light service, which is basically curbside pickup.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like curbside. It has too much of a COVID sound to it.
Right, right.
So red light, green light. Stop the
one,
red
two,
light.
Three.
They come out. You go 1, 2, 3, and you go. And also the Station Tapas and Bar.
Yes.
The Station Tapas and Bar, man. Mm-hmm. We are doing some stuff over there. It's like you walked into an old train car
mm-hmm.
with some steampunk mm-hmm. decor, and mm-hmm. you get some really, really great food. Small mm-hmm. servings, nothing crazy.
Tapas?
And, yeah, tapas.
Not topless.
And it's also not a topless tapas bar either. So keep that in mind when you come. I don't want
right.
you disappointed thinking you're going to get topless people in there.
No.
We
don't want to see Joey Bayard topless.
Or Kevin Soto, for that matter. But in any event, I'm kicking it over to you.
I just want to reiterate the Passage Theater Gala, which is coming up on April 6th. Check it out on their website and get your tickets. We got our tickets. Check it out. Go on their website. It's going to be held at the Trenton Country Club.
That's going to be fun.
On April 6th. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, gentlemen, how can people find you? How can people know you? How can people see you? How can they go online to experience all things Trenton Fire?
Mm-hmm. Trenton Fire Department. We're located at 244 Perry Street in Trenton, New Jersey, the state's capital. 609-989-4380. And you can reach me at Trenton Fire Department, Director Douglas. June 2024, statewide, civil service is putting out the firefighter exam. statewide for the state of New Jersey for all civil service towns. We are still looking for firefighters. Actually, we have a class in the academy right now of 30 firefighters, which is our largest class. Another exam is coming out, so it should be announced June 2024. You should see postings around the city within the next 2 weeks. We have the flyer ready. We're going to have a bunch of information sessions. Questionnaire should be on the flyer also with a QR code. You can reach us at TFD Recruitment at TrentonNJ.org. That's TFD Recruitment at Trenton, TrentonNJ.org.
You may want to spell recruitment.
And listen, even if you don't go out the glare, sorry to cut you off there. If you want to just do it on your own as well, it goes through the civil service. So yes. You can always go on CSC.com, CivilServiceCommission.com.
That's right.
Fill out the application in that aspect. Anybody have to be 18 with a high school diploma or GED.
That's right. Oh, okay.
Yes.
So anybody can, assuming they have that, can apply?
You have to live in the city of Trenton if you're applying for Trenton.
Yes, okay. If you're applying for Trenton, you have to be a Trenton resident.
Oh, that's good. Yes. Mm-hmm. Great.
And it doesn't cost anything to take the exam.
Well, the application, you got an application fee, which is, I believe, $35. Don't quote me on that, but I believe it is $35 still. So, but that's it. But you're talking about $35 to have your whole entire life set with a career. You know, you get a career with a pension, good pay, you know. And something for your family.
You also have to pass a test.
You also have to pass two tests. Yeah.
Two tests. Exactly. What's on this test?
Yes, two tests. So you have a written exam, and then you have a physical portion of the exam.
Okay. And you don't need any experience to take the test?
No, you don't have to have no experience. No. Oh,
what experience would you have?
I don't know.
Some people are like volunteers and stuff like that. They'll be experienced in that aspect.
Gotcha. Oh, they are volunteer.
If you're a volunteer, it doesn't help you. It doesn't give you extra points on the test.
Okay.
Which, you know,
it should.
Crazy. It should, but you got to remember the city of Trenton, there is no volunteers.
Nope.
The city of Trenton has no volunteers. So what I'm going to take a volunteer from Robbinsville or from, you know, Lawrence Township or something.
Right.
I mean, we want you guys. You want the job, but you have to live in the city.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
If you're
a volunteer over there, then you can't apply because you don't live in the city.
Right.
I think that's
great.
In 2022, I started the Junior Public Safety Academy for the city of Trenton Fire Department. Now I incorporated the EMS division, which is under the fire department, and also partnering also with the police department. So this gives children, I guess you could say, the experience of what it is to be a public safety professional in the city of Trenton or just in general. They go through evolutions of the fire department, police department, the EMS department. I mean, touch field the trucks. They get to handle the tools. They do the marching. It's paramilitary, so they're treated just like if there's in boot camp or something.
Oh,
right.
Wow.
Do push-ups and sit-ups. They have to march and everything else. We started off with graduating 12 kids in 2022, and then we graduated maybe almost 30 kids in 2023. The program doubled.
Wow.
When I first brought it here, they didn't really know what to expect. So a lot of people was apprehensive, but once they saw the graduation and the kids made the front page of Trentonian and everything else, and the news came out here. So the next year we had probably over 50 applicants.
That's amazing.
Wow. And then in the next year we had donations for as far as the prosecutor's office, Capital Health and so on that supported our program.
Mm-hmm.
When the graduation happened last year, we had some of the parents, other parents trying to sign their kids up for 2024 last year. So it's going to be probably triple the amount. I'm preparing my staff already for it. We have a lot of cultural trips to go to, like public safety academies. We went to New York, the World Trade Center, the 9/11 Museum. We went to Washington, D.C., did a tour down there. Went to a Phillies game, but we went there. We went to a Thunder game this year. We went to a lot of places.
That's so cool.
Franklin Institute, so forth and so on.
Took to the aquarium and stuff, too.
Yeah, an aquarium. Yeah.
Wow.
So they got a little time to, you know, hang around.
Yes.
Like, that's not always, you know, hey, look.
Yeah,
it's all working. There's still kids at the same time.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And it's the summertime.
Something to give back to our children here in the city, you know what I mean? So they can have a good summer as well, and, you know, but they're with good people. You know what I mean?
That's amazing. That's
so
great.
You know, there's a lot of stuff that these instructors learn from these kids. That, you know, they turn into counselors in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's something good to show them something great that, hey, listen, if you ever need something, the fire department's here. Come knock on our door. We'll talk to you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We can be your counselor. We can be your brother, your sister, you know, big brother, big sister. Come talk to us.
Yeah. Nice. He's so excited, these guys.
I'm excited, too. and it's great.
And like Firefighter Soto stated, the fact that we have, last year was the first year we identified some issues some kids had, and their parents didn't even know.
Mm.
And we got to the kids and helped them through it.
Yeah.
Some of our instructors are counselors.
Okay.
That's great. Right.
That's, you know, so cool. we do serve part of the Youth Fire Setup Program for Mercer County.
Okay.
So some of the instructors are there, but they're also certified instructors by the state of New Jersey.
Right.
So we had children had some social problems, and we got through that. And actually, these kids, after they graduated the academy, they were different children.
That's great.
We served that impact on them. So it was not just all push-ups, sit-ups, and all this other stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, we still there to help you on that note. And then you still go on cultural and social trips, too. I mean, these kids went to, they took the train up to the World Trade Center. None of these children ever took the train before from Trenton all the way up to the World Trade Center.
Wow.
Spent the whole day up there. And they got escorted with Port Authority police all around the place. Seen both the all the way up to the observatory deck to the 9/11 museum where the bones, where the original structure was at.
Yeah, okay.
So, and even this year, we're going back, but we had some other trips also this year too that I'm looking forward to these children going to.
Yeah.
And amongst other things, they do rappelling, they do intro to scuba, they get their CPR certification.
You got a retention level
of pathogens. Yes. So it's a lot of things they do. They go to the simulated shooting range with the police department. This is an array of things, and these kids are busy. They're there for 8 weeks, and it's no cost to the parents.
Look at you want, you so want to go, great. Don't you? You want to do it, don't
I know,
you?
I'm saying, do they have one for adults?
Do you have it for adults? Do you have it for adults?
I can make one.
Hey, Firefighter Soto. We can. Hey, Firefighter Soto, make that happen, please.
Absolutely.
We want, like, a private thing.
Yes.
No,
yes.
I want to be with a bunch of people. This you
be, how about you just be with a bunch of kids doing it?
I would love to do that, too.
Hey, you got to remember, our kids are our feature here in the city.
Yes, yes.
We got to mold them over. That's right.
Because how many of those kids are then going to go on to be firefighters?
That's what we're grooming.
Or EMTs or whatever.
Just for the rappelling alone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. All right.
So now hopefully this year we can take them to the state capitol.
That's
There you go.
You know, City Hall, obviously, with them before. And just get them to know legislation and stuff like that. Let them know. Mm-hmm. Get to meet assembly people, you know, the governor, stuff like that. Because you never know. They might be our next congressman.
Absolutely.
Or our senator, or assembly people.
If that doesn't work out, bring them to New Pot City, which will be a podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or bring them over here. Never know.
I complain about these congresspeople. Do you always refer to him as Firefighter Soto? You ever just call him Kevin?
Sometimes.
Or just Soto.
It's more Soto than Kevin. I got too many Kevins on the job.
Not this good looking Soto.
That's how you know you're in trouble when he calls you Firefighter Soto.
Yeah, right. Soto is solo, so you know. So,
okay.
So he's in a class act by himself.
By himself.
Yeah, you know.
Hey, so something else I wanted to bring up.
Yes.
We didn't really touch too much on it. Is we talked about fire prevention, but we never talked about smoke alarms or carbon monoxide alarms.
No, we haven't.
You know,
so the
fire department. I want to let everybody know that the fire department, we do give out smoke alarms. And I believe Council President Feliciano is doing the whole thing right now, too, with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In collaboration with us. And I believe the Red Cross also, they're helping out.
The Red Cross donate the smoke detectors for free.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to install them. We can't give them to you in your hand because, God forbid, that they'd be in the corner, you have a fire at your house, like, well, I have the smoke detectors on it.
Yeah. Fire department gave them wrong.
So we have to install them. You can get
as many as you need for charge for that, right?
We don't charge for that at all. No, the only thing that we don't give you is carbon monoxide detectors.
Yes.
Okay.
Which, you know, it's two of you, whoever owns or rents, to get that, because you got to remember carbon monoxide is a poisonous gas that you can't see, smell, or hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a deadly gas, can kill you right away.
Wow.
You know, so that's something big that, you know, everybody who owns a house or rents a house, you know, whatever it is, make sure not only do you have your smoke alarms, but you have your carbon monoxide alarms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll save a life, you know.
Huh.
So just, and like I said, we won't, if you need help installing that, we don't charge it to help install, you know, because like I said, we're big on fire safety, fire prevention, stuff like that, to make sure that, you know, you and your family are safe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something big that you can call us and let us know, hey, I need a smoke alarm.
Okay.
We'll charge you. We'll come out. We'll send the closest firehouse to you guys, and they'll install it for you.
Oh, cool.
That's so cool. Now, you had something on April 5th at Slammin' Brew.
Yeah, 100%. Being
that we're talking about Slammin' Brew so much.
We did have something on April 5th.
What was that all about?
It was a great event. So that was a coffee with the Trent Fire Department and Emergency Services. So we had Trent Fire Department, obviously, there, as well as all Emergency Services that came out and supported. Councilwomen Jennifer Williams, Jazzy Edwards, and Chris Feliciano, they hosted it.
Yeah.
They did a great event doing it for us. You know,
so people got to sit and have coffee with you?
Correct.
Dude, you sound like you've had already 17 cups.
So I talk fast.
He's like...
Yeah, but not only with me, with the whole entire fire department and public safety.
They're all caffeined up.
Yeah. So it's a great event. It shows, you know, the public, you know, that we're there, that we care, you know, that we're, you know, anything you need, just, you can always count on us, you know.
But you'll have, we're going to have more events like that, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We're going to have 100% more events. I'm planning on doing something down at the station, Bar and Bristol, right next door from Slam and Bristol.
It's going to be great.
So we're planning on doing it with the owner over there, Leo, and yourself, and the manager, Paola, and obviously Joey helping us out also.
Mm-hmm.
Public Safety Day. So I don't want it to be just only for the city of Trenton Public Safety, but I also want it to be, you know, Ewing Township, Hamilton Township, Lawrence
even
Township.
People who come in for lunch from Bucks County,
Everybody's welcome. If you're a first responder, just come on down, enjoy the time, enjoy the station. I just want, you know, right. them to know that, listen, Trenton is Trenton. Trenton we're here.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Downtown is back.
You know yes,
I mean?
It's back.
Downtown is back.
I was in Slam and Brew the other day. He comes in with these two firefighters. Mm-hmm. One guy was like 20-something years. He was adorable. And then there was an older guy, 58 years old. Mm-hmm. Bill. Yep. Right? Bill and who?
Bill and Forchi.
Forchi.
And let me tell you, he looked like a Forchi. Like he was he's very much of a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, we don't get fired and we don't get new fire trucks. And we got, but then I got a new fire truck.
Yeah, so that's we're getting three new ones now.
Oh. 30 years.
Yeah, thanks to the director. Yeah.
Thank you.
Director Douglas.
And it's the first time that three trucks are bought at the same time.
See that?
So two engines and a ladder. You
he's
know?
Doing that director magic that he
and,
does.
And when are they in effect?
So this summer, the two engines will be here this summer, and before the year is out, the ladder be here.
Nice.
And actually, we just also thank you to DCA for Transition Aid. I bought 10 new Tahoes, Chevy Tahoes staff vehicles for the fire department too. Awesome. It's the first time for that also.
Wow. Great. All right, DCA. Yes. See, you can do the rest.
Are you going to do a touch a truck when you inaugurate these, like have kids like come kids. Out and look at the brand new truck?
We'll do whatever. All right.
Because I'm going to be there.
We do a lot of events at the fire department. We did a toy drive for the last 3 years.
Oh, I know that. All right. Yeah.
The food giveaway we've done. Mm-hmm. Okay. We've had over like 5,000-6,000 meals we made. So, we always doing something to fire. It's a beacon of public safety, a beacon of meeting for the city.
Okay. Well, awesome. You know, you say you care about the community. Absolutely. Let some kids come out and touch your trucks.
Absolutely.
Listen, they put their money where their mouth is.
They absolutely. They're good for you, DCA.
And we put our money back in the community, too.
That's right.
Hmm. Well, you know, a lot of pointing going on right
here. Everything's a team effort, right?
That's right.
It is.
DCA, the city, the administration of the city council, the mayor.
I got one more question. Okay. Just to interrupt you. I've heard enough of you now. We first met at the station. He's calling me, hey, Frank, come here. He invited me to dinner. I'm like, how does this guy know me? I'm just playing along like I already know him.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't know each other.
No, we crossed paths, but we never got to really,
not officially
really
talk. Yeah, okay.
Did we like each other when we crossed paths?
We did. You know,
I don't remember.
I think you gave me a little kiss on the forehead one time.
You gave me a kiss on the forehead?
It was probably that one. Probably that one.
I don't think you ever gave me a kiss on my forehead.
Nah, I'm just joking.
Aww.
Now you're just teasing me, Fireman Soto. All right, well, Podcastia, this was fun.
Yes.
This has been yet another episode of Trent Waves.
Sasso's out.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at trentonwaves.com.